Welcome to the Your Supercoach Coach Live Question and Answer for round 14. Mark, let's start off by going through how we went on the weekend. I scored 16.04, managed to keep my ranking in a pretty competitive round, so 342nd for me, and it's great to have all the players playing this weekend. There's a bit of selection carnage, particularly in the back line with Clark and Darley out, and I suspect that will be this week's main topic of discussion. And I think Giles, still, people are looking at potentially trading him out after seeing him come back and score only 50, with concerns that Brogan's taking away from his scoring and he's sort of dropping off, as rookies tend to do in the rocks. Mark, how did your team score on the weekend?
Team scored 15.07, dropped 150 places, so although I thought my score was really poorly, my team did really bad. I guess it didn't drop too far. Thank God Zorko's come in and been scoring well from the bench, because there's little else to look forward to. Clark having 18 and then getting dropped this weekend is very disappointing. I had Tippett and Broughton both get concussions. They've both been named, but hopefully they'll get up for the weekend. Yeah, it wasn't the greatest weeks for me. I'm ranked about 2,000 now. It's good to see that you're doing so well, Marcus.
Yep. All right, Mark. So you're facing the Clark-Darley-Spur dilemma. A lot of people might have Spur replaced with somebody like Smets instead, but a lot of people might be facing Donuts in their back line this week. Now, the big question is, how do you rectify that problem? Because Darley's only at 220K. Lots of people are stuck with poorer rookies, or maybe someone like Sam Shaw, who's not on sitting on a lot of money either. And Marty Clark has dipped a bit in price. He's sitting only at 330,000 after dropping 28K on the weekend, only notching an 18 in the game.
Yeah, his three out of his last four scores have been below 60, so he really has been struggling lately. It's like he's been playing a little bit more back, it seems, rather than up on the ball, with the Collingwood midfield just absolutely dominating. And obviously all this Clark being out and Darley being out is very fresh news, so I'm still trying to work out what I'm going to do. I did have thoughts earlier in the week of doing McDonald down to Gibson and Clark up to someone, or maybe even Spur upgraded. I think that's probably, if you've got enough trades, I think that's probably the best way to go. There's plenty of good defenders out there at the moment that are fairly cheap. Hearn, Birchall and Carrazzo are all around that 460 mark. Fisher's about 430. If you're really struggling for cash, you've got Suckling at about 400, or Heppel. So yeah, there's plenty of really good defensive options at the moment. And if you have enough trades, so 6 or 7 or 8 or more, then I think the downgrade upgrade of the back is probably the place to go. I know we'll probably talk about Giles, but obviously with Giles playing and Clark out, Clark is the bigger priority at the moment.
You think Clark's a definite trade out then?
Well, if you're copping a donut this week and you, like, my combination is Clark, Darley and Spur, and while all of them are fit and all of them are around the sort of emergency or just out of the team, and probably be back at some stage, who knows, like, it could very easily end up exactly the same next week. So we're looking at two donuts in a row, could end up the same the week after that. So, I think that you'd have to look at trading in that spot if you can.
Okay. I guess the good part about this sort of carnage happening in the back line is that they're pretty good cheap options. So I think, you know, for around 400K, you can get a pretty decent trade-in option for Clark at 330. So you really only need to generate 70K. Maybe you already have that in the bank. I definitely agree. You need to look for an upgrade in that part of the ground. And it's unfortunate that Clark hasn't panned out the way people had hoped. I know a lot of people are, you know, banking on him running out the year at D7. I didn't quite expect him to get dropped like this, Mark.
Score 18 on the weekend.
Yeah, so he's been quite disappointing. And with Darley, we've said all along he's had the sort of job security issues. So I'm guessing if you're facing a donut this week, it's likely that you have yet another one like Spur or Smets or someone like that that's also keeping you down. For those that have slightly better bench cover, though, Mark, if it's not giving you a donut, would you recommend just keeping Clark?
Yeah, if I had Ellis or Morris on the bench and I only had about 50,000 in the bank, then I'd probably just keep him for this week and work out what I'm going to do later, especially if you're low on trades, because Clark might come back. He might be a bit refreshed and might benefit from a week off. So, yeah, I think in that situation, I probably would just hold off and just see what I'm going to do. But although if you're going to get Gibson, I guess this is the week to do it, because he will go up in price next week.
Well, we've got a question here on the live chat. If you're cash strapped, is Heppel better than Suckling? Let's talk about cheap backline options, Mark. So Heppel, Suckling. I remember last week you were keen on Grimes. How do you see the backline in terms of cheap upgrade options? What's the best bet? Do you reckon?
Sure, I still think Grimes and Heppel could turn out to be pretty decent picks. Especially since they're so cheap at the moment. But out of the three, I'd probably be taking Suckling. His disposal is so good. He plays, and you'd expect Hawks to finish top two or three, so should win a lot of games. Has the potential to average 95, only 88 at the moment after a few average games before the bye. But at about 397, I'd definitely be getting Suckling if I could. Just seems the most likely to average 95 out of those three.
Mm. We've got a question as well about David Myers, Mark. He's listed in the back line, and he's priced at 367,000, 75 and 102 his last two games.
75 was, he came on as a sub as well. He was only on for a quarter and a bit, and looked fantastic against Fremantle, especially in the first half. He was just about our best player, or probably was our best player. And it's about time he's come of age. Like, he's sort of has been threatening to be best 22. And at the start of the year, it was like, yeah, he's definitely best going to be best 22. He's looking for his best year, but then really struggled with injury again. So I think that'd be the biggest concern with Myers. He's only scored over 100 three times in his career, I think. Highest average of 75 for a season, and has never played more than 13 games, and this is fifth year. So I think that's the biggest concern. He suffered from a lot of soft tissue injuries, missed from round 2 to 11 this year, although he did play for Bendigo a couple of times. Yeah, look, I think that's a really tricky one, just because he actually could present a fair bit of value and could actually average pretty well for the rest of the year. But then, like, you might trade him in and he might get injured and you just wasted a trade. So what do you think about that pick, Marcus?
Yeah, I'm not too much of a fan. I'd much prefer Hibbard. I think he's averaging 77. He played first four games where 116, 93, 89, 87, and then did his hammy in round 15. And he's only come back last week, scored a 64 in return. And he was really impressive in his debut year. Of course, a mature age recruit known for his rebounding work. Averaged 74 in his first season. And with the Bombers playing some pretty good football, he did have a pretty lucrative role down there in the back line. So if he can resume that role, I'd say a 90 seems like pretty comfortable. And 364 puts him significantly cheaper than the options we're looking at still. Suckling and Grimes, they're all about 400,000. So if you're really cash-strapped, I'd probably prefer Hibbard over Myers.
If I thought, since Hibbard's already had a soft tissue as well this season, I guess you'd say their injury chances are about pretty similar. So I'd personally take Myers out of the two. I think he's probably a better player and going to score better this year. He's got a few more years in the system as well, even though Hibbard was mature age when we picked him up.
Hmm.
But right. Then again, if you can avoid getting either of them, that's probably the way to go.
Yeah. Yeah, ideally, as long as it doesn't compromise your team too much, would be looking for a better avenue of cash so that you can hopefully get a bona fide premium rather than this is really just like a patchwork sort of method here. We got another question in the back line, Mark, for somebody who has a little bit more cash. Who do you think will score more for the rest of the year, Scotland or Carrazzo? And that's a pretty good one to consider.
Ooh, that is a good one. Out of the two, I think Scotland probably seems like the more, like the less risky pick, but then you pay a little bit of a premium for that. based on form that we've seen this season, I think you'd almost have Carrazzo just ahead on scoring. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I think Carrazzo's the games he's played has been in better form, but I don't know. I guess it's a collarbone injury, so it's not like it should be hindering his performance for the rest of the year. But just whether he can keep this up after, you know, like an 8-week layoff or something. Yeah, I'd probably prefer Scotland, just like you said, Mark. That consistency, you know, is there. His poorest game for the year has been 83 Scotland. So, and Carlton haven't exactly been playing great football. So if they come home strong, Scotland might benefit from that. I probably prefer, like, if the 30k is a big difference, like you can use it somewhere else, or you need to keep a little bit of buffer, then Carrazzo's more than a fine selection. And I think both of us have them pretty close to each other, but if money's no object, then I personally prefer Scotland.
Okay, just because it's mainly the injury.
Injury risk of Scotland?
Yeah, of Carrazzo.
Oh, okay. They're both injury risk, though. Scotland had that calf as well, didn't he?
Sure. Yeah, he did. I think Scotland's got a better durability history over the course of time there.
Yeah. He is getting old, though. How about we got a few more questions on a few more players in the back line, Mark. Carrazzo, Fisher.
Fisher doesn't seem to be scoring as well this year. He's obviously got the potential to, especially over a short period of time, sort of average 100, but doesn't seem to be scoring as well. Has had, I think he went out with a hamstring and was just out for a really, really long time. So there's probably still some question marks there. But he is at about 430, so...
And he's an absolute jet. Like, last year, he was just in sick form. He's one of the best defensive contested marks in the game. And he cuts teams up with his foot skills. Unfortunately, you know, still gets the defensive job that tends to hinder his impact on games and therefore super coach scoring. But, I mean, if he... With a break-even of 135, he's going to drop even more. He'll look even more tempting in future weeks. But for this week, 434 for a player of that quality, I mean, I'd be much more comfortable picking Fisher at 430 than, let's say, Grimes at 418.
I think that I'd probably take Enright ahead of them. What do you feel about Enright this year?
Yeah, I think he's a great option, to be honest, Mark. And I have him in my team. We know how consistent he is. He's pretty much good for 90 plus each year, with 95 plus looking most common. Although he started the year off slowly, he had a pretty limited preseason and came in, you know, 47, 95, and 75 his first three games. But then after that, 120, 93, 104, 71, 98, and 111. He was rested in the game against GWS. Came back, only scored 49. Last week against the Swans, he was actually the high scoring player on ground with 123. The back line is getting more of the ball in the Geelong team, with the Cats not quite doing as well as they have been in previous years. So that's good for him, because he's just great with the intercept marks and creating play off the back line. And I think last week he had something like 11 marks. Yeah, very consistent player. The only issue would be, I think you'll be looking at Enright probably getting rested. With Geelong's situation as it currently stands, I think they should probably win enough games to be in the eight, but they won't go close to being in the top four. So I think they'll get to a stage where they're going to finish seventh or eighth anyway, and in that case, they'll probably decide to rest Enright despite not like really being in the top four in a prime position, just because of the age profile of the team. He's still likely to get rested. So, if you've got decent cover, I think he's a great option. But if your cover's a bit dicey, then maybe those types of players are one to avoid.
With that said, Geelong don't really seem to have any games towards the end of the year that he would actually be rested in. So
that tends to not have much impact on the way we rest, though. Like we do put players out during teams like GWS, but if they don't come, I think they'll still rest the old players if they need to. Like I said, I think their concern will be final series, so they'll be trying to build him up to that. How about Sean Burgoyne, Mark? You know, you're looking at him preseason. He hasn't quite tracked as well as those who had picked him would have hoped, but Presents pretty decent value at 417,000, and the last 4 weeks really has been pretty consistent, 90, 75, 87, 137 to the buy.
Yeah, he's been a bit of a role player this year, and that's probably the concern, that some weeks he's going to play a more defensive role and that's going to affect his scoring. So, well, he did show, I think, in the last game with the 130-odd that he has a really high scoring potential. He has been a bit up and down with his scoring this year, and I do kind of expect that to continue. So, yeah, I just think there's probably better options around his price, and the fact that he's coming off three good games means that you're not getting a real bargain with Burgoyne at the moment.
Yeah, I think we've brought him up a few times, Mark, and that seems to be a thing that we always go back to, is that role-playing thing. And yeah, not for me either, but if you're stretched for options, if you already have lots of the cheap fellows, which I suspect that most people don't, then I'd go him. But I'd prefer Grimes, prefer Heppel, even prefer Hibbert at a cheaper price, to be honest.
No, that's just ridiculous.
All right, going into the rocks, Mark. Giles,
on the Marek. Score,
50 on the weekend. So does that sort of reinforce that sort of view that I've been pushing all year, Mark? Is he going to tail off, or do you reckon it's just that one sort of fluky poor game that players tend to have?
Yeah, I don't even think it was a fluky poor game. If you look over the course of the season at players that have a couple of weeks off from an injury, normally their first game back, they do struggle quite a bit, especially if they haven't spent time in the reserves. So I think it can be as much put down to that as anything, just the fact that it was a bit wet when they played Melbourne. It had a couple of weeks off, building back into fitness, and had his lowest score for the year. I think that, yeah, you could definitely just explain it away as that, and that he will still score quite well for the rest of the year. I probably plan on keeping him as my second ruck, although I can swap him around with Roughhead at different times, with Zorko doing so well. So, yeah, I certainly haven't lost faith in Jonathan Giles. I know you ditched him, so it's pretty easy for you to say, nah, he's going to do crap.
Yeah, but is it time to get concerned, Mark, about the fact that really this is the first week where the two most popular ruck cover that we have in Supercoach and Dream Team this year is pretty much beaten for spots. Stephenson is now behind Simpson and West, and Redden is now behind Renouf and Loeb and potentially even, you know, Stewart moving forward. Is it a concern that Giles should really be an R3 cover for your first two rucks, or do you simply take down Stephenson or Redden down to a Campbell, or do you not concern yourselves with having adequate ruck cover? How do you sort of see that moving forward?
Yeah, well, most of the people that I'm hearing talk about trading in the rucks this week aren't actually looking to upgrade Stephenson or Redden, but looking to just trade Giles straight out. So they're still probably going to end up with no cover. And so I think, depending on how many trades you've got, if you've still got 8 to 10 trades, then I can definitely understand looking at trying to upgrade Giles. Even if he averages 90 for the rest of the year, there are ruckmen that can average 110 or more. And if you can get one of them in your team, then you would be doing quite well and get sort of pretty good value. You can still get a couple of hundred points that way. So that makes sense. But I'm personally not thinking that it's panic stations and that you need to worry too much about Giles. I mean, he's a mature ager. He's been around for a while. I don't think he's one of the people that's only going to play 14 games for Greater Western Sydney this year. And I don't think he's a Zach Smith either. I think he's definitely got a much more mature body than Zach. So although it's still going to be hard for him to ruck out the season, I think that he will definitely handle it better than Zach Smith did and won't trail off that much.
All right, Mark, for those people actually looking to upgrade in the rucks, though, what would be the options that you're looking at? We've got a question here asking us about Roughhead being a good, cheap ruck option.
What's Roughhead worth at the moment, mate?
Roughhead is at 493,000, averaging 101 for the season.
Yeah, and coming off a pretty good game, I think he's been really consistent. He's just super reliable. I think when we went to the footy a couple of months ago, Marcus, you were saying that he just does enough every week, gets a goal and a few hit outs and a few kicks and just does enough every week to get that 90 or 100, and that seems really true, and has the potential to go bigger with those 130s, 140s. So Ruffhead's really good pick, and I've had him in my side for quite a while, and although he hasn't set the world on fire, I've been pretty happy with his output on a general basis, and hopefully he can continue that for the rest of the year, and hopefully doesn't pick up any niggles or get rested or anything. And I guess that could be a worry. I think if you're really struggling for cash, then a Jacobs might do just as well as a Ruffhead. A Griffin might even do just as well as a Ruffhead, so maybe they're actually better options. And I think that if you've got enough for Ruffy, then you should be looking a little bit higher towards the Ryder Marek types, personally.
How about Jacobs, Mark, as a really cheap option at 467,000? So you'd only need about 40K from Giles. How do you see him in comparison to Ruffhead?
I think he might average just slightly less, I guess. I think he's averaging about 95 at the moment, and I'd expect him to do that for the rest of the season. So Ruffhead might average a little bit more. And in that sense, it's only maybe 30K. So, yeah, I guess I can understand why people would choose Ruffhead ahead of him. But Jacob seems really reliable. He seems like he's probably less likely to miss any games than Ruffhead. Personally, I'd be taking Griffin ahead of Jacobs, though. I think they're likely to average about the same. Griffin could average even a little bit more because he does seem a little bit better around the ground than Jacobs is, although Jacobs is probably better in the actual ruck.
Surely Mummy takes the cake over all of them, though. 460,000. Of course, we know he had those back problems, but he's played the last three games. 40 and 77 in his first two, and off the bye, he scored 97 against the Cats.
Yeah, but I don't know whether you saw that game, Marcus. Oh, you were at that game, weren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, there was a time, I think it was in the last quarter, where he's actually fallen onto his back and hurt himself a little bit. So I think this week on the injury list, he was actually listed as a test. So in that sense, I think that I actually thought a few weeks ago that Mummy at this stage would be the perfect person to get in with his price drop, but I think that's enough to scare me away, and I'd be taking Griffin ahead of him just because, like, if you trade Giles to someone now, you really don't want to have to use another trade in that position. And Mummy could go on a huge run from here. Definitely could. High-risk pick could definitely work, but he could also miss a few games and re-injure himself. So that would be a pretty big concern to me.
Okay.
I think that if you've got as much money as you want, I'd be looking to do just about anything I could to get Ivan Marek in my team. If you have trades and you have cash, bring him in. I think a 115 plus average is certainly within his reach for the rest of the year. And that's 15 ahead of Ruffhead. It's probably 20 ahead of Jacobs. It's although you're paying an absolute premium for him at 589, I think with Richmond's draw coming up and the form Marek has shown this year, I think that even that's a good price. What do you think about that?
I'd probably prefer Ryder at about 60K less. Also Ryder's consistency getting on Park's a big tick. We haven't seen a big Ryder game in a while now, so I think he's due for one in the run home, but I'd probably save the 60K. I think they should average fairly similarly for the run home, so that's probably where I have it. But Richmond does have a good run, and if you do like Marich and you do like barracking for a mullet, then he's a pretty good punt too.
So if you were going to, do you recommend trading Giles? What do you think?
Yeah, well, like you said, Mark, it's a bit hard for me to give comment, but look, I think if you've kept Giles, the reasons you did it were, one, you trust that he was going to be a good enough ruck two, in which case one game isn't really enough to say, and one game after a two-week layoff isn't really enough to say he's not going to do that, so that's a no from that circumstance. You might have kept him because you're either low on trades or you had other priorities, in which case you'd still be low on trade, so it's a no from that sort of point of view. So I'd probably say keep Giles if you've already kept him that, but I personally have traded him out because I didn't think, and I don't think that he's going to run out the season quite as strong. I think probably looking at 80 to 85, which means if you can get a ruckman that's averaging 105 to 110. That's, you know, a lot of points per game.
So, and who would be your number one pick to trade in? Ryder?
Ryder. Just love the fact that he's played, I think, missed two or three games in the last 5 years, which is absolutely brilliant just for a ruckman. Like Mark said, the last thing you want is to be bringing in a player that you have to trade out yet again in your rucks, with most people having pretty weak cover. So it'd be Ryder for me. Then probably give another value option. I'd then look toward Ruffhead, especially with the link is good, but if not, I think Mummy's a pretty good pick, regardless of that injury risk. I think if you can save that much money, and we know how much scoring potential Mummy has, he could even go out and score 105 for the run home, which would be huge at that price tag.
Sure. Let's just knock off a few of these other questions, man. Chris Yaron.
Look, turf toe, I think we saw how serious it is, and we haven't really experienced much of it in recent years of AFL, but I think we really saw how much it affected Sanderlands, and I think to an extent we can also see how much it's affecting Yaron, and particularly because he's a running player. You need that power and explosiveness and that sprinting. You know, all that comes from needing your toes in good nick. So 25, 42, 36 and 30 his last four games. I don't think we could be really advocating bringing in anyone like that. So it's a no from me. I think from now on and moving forward, if somebody gets turf toe, you turf him.
Tom Campbell is a downgrade target.
Look, pretty good option. Is he still in this week, Mark? I think he is.
Managed to hold his spot ahead of Ace Cordy, who got ditched.
Yeah, so, yeah, I think there's just not many options that you can go for if you're looking to downgrade. I'm assuming it's for cash or maybe convenient cover this week. But, yeah, there are not really many options, and if you're looking for to downgrade Stephenson to get some cash or Redden to get some cash, then yeah, Campbell's a good option, but I wouldn't really be relying on him to play for the rest of the year. I think he'll only play a few games here and there.
What about Jonathan Patton? I think he's about 197,000 on the bubble this week. Has started fairly well in his first two games.
No, definitely no for me. 200,000's really, really high. How many rookies can you pick up who are cheaper than that, who have already had games, you know? So, yeah, no for me.
Sure. I think that just about wraps up the show, mate. Hopefully things go well for you this week. I know you're, 330-ish, so hopefully you can break into the top couple of hundred. Maybe your side's fully upgraded, so... I think we'll just barrack you in for the rest of the year rather than worry about my team.
Yeah, hopefully Pendlebury comes back in. I think lots of people ended up holding on to him, and he's still out this week, and hear that he's actually in doubt for round 15 as well, Mark. So
that would suck.
He's a big one.
Yep.
All right, thanks very much for the show, guys. I will get the podcast uploaded as soon as we can, and best of luck for the upcoming round, and we'll catch you all next week, where we should be back to the same time slot, although Mark's baby is going to pop out any day now, so there might be some unexpected rescheduling. But yeah, best of luck, guys.
Cheers. Due tomorrow.